Honey, Bujo, Sego, Skully, Scanagoaga, Anishna. Yes. Greetings to all our brothers and sisters out there. You are listening to Smoke Signals, a First Nations radio program here at Radio Western, CHRW 94.7 FM. We are heard every Saturday from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And the song you just heard was Long Hot Summer in the Great White North, from the group Seventh Fire and their album entitled Well, What Does It Take? My name is Dan Smoke, and I'm in the studio today with my co-hostess, Mary Lou Smoke, and our technical producer and co-host, John Turner. Hi, Mary Lou.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good, good. How was everyone this week? How was your week?
Well, mine was pretty good. I've had a bad cold, so I didn't do very much of anything. I didn't do anything interesting at all. I'm sure you and Mary Lou have. You spent the whole week doing all sorts of interesting things.
No, it was a quiet week for us.
Yeah, just, well, the art festival last week was quite a success. I guess most of the artists that were there, they walked away happy. And the people who were in attendance to view the festival and the showing of the art there, I guess they were also pleased with the festival. This week I happened to go with a friend down to the Six Nations Reserve this week, and we went down to see some people regarding his Confederacy passport, which is a recognition of his sovereign citizenship with the Ongwehoe Council of the Longhouse people. And we were able to pick that up from the secretary to the Onondaga Longhouse over the week. And I guess in the news this week, one of the pressing issues that I came about, or I was able to, that I viewed, was the jury selection at OCA has finally ended. It ended on April the 30th. They were finally able to swear in the jurors, the 12 jurors that required for the case against 39 Mohawks that were involved in the 1990 OCA crisis. They say it was one of the longest jury selection processes in Canadian history, and it was after a grueling 2 months that produced only 4 jurors in this trial, where 8 people were selected at virtually the last moment. Only 6 potential jurors out of the 2,500 who were summoned originally were left. All the others, except the chosen 8 men and 4 women, had been either excused for personal or professional reasons or rejected because their impartiality was in question. So, many members of the legal community in Montreal were convinced a jury could never be put together because too many Montrealers had formed opinions on the events of the violent summer 2 years ago. So that comes from the Toronto Star. So they finally, I guess they're going to be sitting down, and the trial will begin. I'm not sure exactly when it starts. I don't have the information on that. But it is expected to last at least 4 months. So we'll be watching carefully over the course of the summer, you know, what happens with the 39 defendants. As I understand it, some of the charges will be dropped, but some of them will stick. You know, like the inciting riot, conspiracy to riot, and maybe something around deadly weapons. Possession of deadly firearms or something like that. So that was one news item that caught my eye. This week I was able to go out to the Oneida Reserve. Out there they call it the Oneontaaga, which is People of the Standing Stone. And I was out there visiting Howard Elijah, who is secretary for the Chief's Council of the Oneida Nation. And that was on Thursday. And yesterday I was able to visit with Chief Al Day, who is chief of the elective system of government on Onyenta-Araga. So when I went to visit Howard Elijah, we went and did the visit outside the log schoolhouse that's out there, which is the Jiniyunkwa Lihoda Learning Center, which is learning, which is a school, a learning center where the Oneida Nation has taken control of their education back into their hands. And this is one thing that Native people have for a long time wanted to do. They've been wanting to get equality in education for their children. And equality in education is not something where my children are educated the same as a non-Native children are educated. We believe that equality is for me to be able to educate my children the way I want them educated and respect the way the non-Native people educate their children. Now that's true equality. And so in practice, what the Onyenta-Araga Nation has done is they have taken back control of their education, and they are, you know, collectively showing that they have a way of educating their children based on creation, based on the four seasons, and they're exercising for their people freedom of choice, so that families have the choice to educate their children either within the elective system, which is the Standing Stone School, or the Onyenta-Araga Jiniyunkwa Lihoda Learning Center. So it's really a good, it works well. I've been to, now when we had David Suzuki come visit the London area, he was welcomed into the Jiniyunkwa Lihoda, and a condolence ceremony was performed in his honor, and it was done by the traditional council with the elective council representatives there, as well as the principal of the Standing Stone School, Judy Rubin. She was also in attendance. So it's really good to see that there's this spirit of cooperation that's kind of really tying and bringing together a faction of different factions of Onyenta-Araga people who for some time not long ago were at odds with each other. And so with this spirit of cooperation now in existence and holding firm, it's really good to see. We thought that it was a good time to talk to them about self-government, to talk to them about how the administration of the reserve takes place in the eyes of the traditional council, the nation council, the chief's council, and in the eyes of the elective council, band council. So we were able to talk with Chief, or talk with Howard Elijah and talk with Chief Day. So we won't be able to feature both of them together today. We have some tape of our conversations with Howard Elijah that we will be hearing today. And next week, we'll have some the other conversation that we had with Chief Day. So I just like to, say that it was a very informative session for me. It was very educational. I learned a lot. I'm always amazed, like when you walk into a place where it's where there's a history of tradition, and it's steeped in tradition the way it is out at Oneida. You walk in with an open mind, you know, the things that you can learn. And out there we were listening, you could hear the birds singing, you could hear the nature, you could hear all creation all around you, and it was almost like it was an agreement with the words that Howard was sharing with me that day. And I just like to add that because it certainly added to the moment. But we're going to take a music break right now. We're going to listen to The Priests of the Golden Bull from Buffy St. Marie and her new album entitled Coincidence and Likely Stories here on Smoke Signals.